Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn over, first of all, to the book of 1 John, 1 John chapter number 4, 1 John chapter number 4. The Bible said in 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse number 1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know we the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Father, I need your help tonight, and I pray, Lord, that you would help us as we look into the Word of God. We know, our Father, tonight that we're fixing our Lord to come under attack because, Lord, when the enemy is exposed, Lord, we understand and know for sure that he doesn't like that. But God, I know that as the Word of God has already said, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. I pray, Lord, tonight that you would help us, and God, that you would keep your hand on our church, our men, our deacons, our Father. Help us, our Lord, to lead our families and lead the family of God in a way that is pleasing unto thee. Lord, we ask you tonight, show us truth from thy word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to look tonight at the spirit of error, and I want to just kind of look at a couple of verses real quickly in the New Testament, and then we're going to go back and look at the first time in the Word of God that the word error is mentioned. And let's look first of all at James chapter number 5 and verse number 20. The Bible said, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. How many of y'all understand tonight that there's only one place that sin can be hidden? And that's under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It cannot be hidden anywhere else. So when it talks about converting a sinner from the error of his way, it's talking about getting someone to Jesus. Amen. Because when you get them to Jesus, it doesn't matter, Brother Colt, if they live on a mansion or if they live in a prison cell, they still need to be saved by the grace of God in order that their sin be covered. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 18, I don't want to spend a lot of time here, but I want to show you the importance of the subject. We've been talking about the spirit of truth, and just the opposite of that is the spirit of error. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 18, the Word of God said, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity. Beloved, in this spirit of error, you're going to find things that just sound wonderful. Big words. Paul said he didn't use enticing words of man's wisdom because he didn't want our faith to stand in the wisdom of men but in the power of God. And I've heard this said of Brother Jack, and I like it, that you didn't have to scratch your head and ask yourself, what did he say when he got done? Say amen. I believe that's the way the Word of God ought to be preached. Amen. If you want to go dig into a definition or something, that's fine. But I tell you what, I believe God's people, they understand when they're hearing truth. The Bible said these in the spirit, that spirit of error, watch this now, said, when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. Now I want you to look at 2 Peter chapter 3 with me for just a moment. I'm going to turn over there because I believe this lays the groundwork tonight for what we're talking about in the spirit of error. 2 Peter chapter 3, as a matter of fact, this is the very chapter, and I don't profess to know a lot of Bible tonight, but way back yonder, I hadn't been saved long when the Jehovah's Witnesses knocked on my door, and I didn't know a lot about the Word of God, but I'll tell you what, already I knew enough, amen, to know that I was not hearing truth. And the Bible said, if you look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 1, and we're going to get to something. We've got to read a lot here first, but let's look at it. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Let me ask you something tonight. Do you believe he's coming? Amen. Do you believe Jesus is coming? Yes. Then we ought to be a stirred up people. Amen. We ought to be a rejoicing people. Amen. The Bible said that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of the apostles of our Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. Now, what are these scoffers saying? They're saying in verse number 4, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly, watch this now, we're talking about that spirit of error. We are not talking about ignorance. We're talking about apostasy. We're talking about somebody that sees the truth and they turn their back on revealed truth to go in the way of error. The Word of God said here that all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the Word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the water that then was being over, the world that then was being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All this is written in response to those, beloved, that are saying, where is the promise of his coming? They're scoffing at the truth of the Word of God. The Bible said, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. You know, there are those running around, beloved, saying there's going to be just a new world. Amen. Well, there is going to be a new heaven and a new earth. The Bible said, wherein dwelleth righteousness. We're going to get to that in a moment. But this one, honey, is going to perish. It's going to melt. Watch what the Word of God said now. And with fervent heat, the earth also and the works therein shall be burned up. Seeing that all these things shall be, what's that next word? What's left when something's dissolved? Nothing. Dissolve. What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. And also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, or they wrestle, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Look at verse 17. This is what I wanted to get to. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before. Now listen, have we read some things tonight that you know? Have we read some things that you know he's coming?
Do you know His coming is not on our timetable, but it's on His? And that one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And I'm telling you, beloved, watch. Peter said, you know these things. He said, beware, lest ye also, watch this now, being led away, what's the next word? With the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Now listen to me. I love my church. I love every one of you. But I'm going to tell you who the cults are preying on. They're not preying on the barroom crowd. How many understands what I'm talking about tonight? Oh, they prey on somebody that knows just enough Bible to be dangerous. They'll want you to think, oh, we've got the same Jesus, we've got the same Bible, we believe the same gospel. Honey, before long, you'll understand that what they're trying to do is lead you away into the error of the wicked. And the Word of God said it's in the world. There's a spirit of truth, and there's a spirit of error. And I'll tell you, the only way, the Bible said, try the spirits. How do you know? Does it line up with the book? That's the only way that we can know tonight. And I tell you, the Holy Spirit will let you know too. He lives in us. And the Bible said He'll lead you. When He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will lead you into all truth. The Spirit of God will always lead you into the truth. In 1 John 4, we read, we're of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. Heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Jude said this. I thought this was interesting. This is the last time error is used in the Word of God. Now, I'm not going to take the time. As a matter of fact, I believe we spoke on this a while back. But the Bible said, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. They have ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. You know, Balaam, it's tying it in with money. They wanted him, Balak wanted him to curse God's people, and yet he kept going back and talking to God when God done give him the final word. Amen. And beloved, listen, if you read the book of Peter, you'll understand that he was hoping to gain reward by doing that. And he actually ended up saying, well, I can't curse them, but I tell you how you can take care of them. Just go down there and marry up with them. Amen. And you'll get all messed up, and you'll end up defeating them that way. I want to give you this tonight. I want to look at this for a few minutes tonight. We're looking at the spirit of error tonight. We've looked at somewhat at the spirit of truth, and you could preach a year on the spirit of truth just looking at truth. In the Word of God, we tied it in with the first time truth was mentioned. But let's look at error tonight. And I believe this will help us the first time it's mentioned in the Word of God. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles tonight. Let's see here where I'm wanting to go first of all. I believe I want to go first of all to 2 Samuel chapter number 6. 2 Samuel chapter number 6. Would you go there with me tonight? 2 Samuel, this is the first time. Does anybody know where the first time the word error is mentioned in the Word of God? Do you happen to know? Anybody know? Well, 2 Samuel, I'm sorry, 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse number 1. Let's read together here tonight. I believe it'll be a blessing. I want you to see it. I want you to see some truths tonight that I believe will be a blessing to us and keep us out of error. Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart. Does anybody see where this is going? The first time error is mentioned in the Word of God. Let's look at it here. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah, and Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and timbrels and on the cornets and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord, was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his... Was Uzzah doing a good thing? He was trying to do a good thing. Was David trying to accomplish a good thing? They were trying to get the Ark of God back to Jerusalem. Was he doing a good thing? I believe the answer to that would be yes. But was he doing it the right way? The answer to that would be no. And we need to look at that, in other words, to see why that God held him so accountable for this area. And the Bible said, there he died by the ark of God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. And he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David, but David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite, and the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. I want to give you some things tonight that I think will help us tonight. And I believe these are truths when we're talking about the spirit of error. I believe every dad ought to listen tonight. I believe every mom, I believe every child of God ought to listen tonight. Because just as sure as there is a spirit in this world, the Spirit of God that lives in the heart of every believer, desiring to lead us in truth, there's another spirit that desires to lead us into error, into that which is wrong. Think about this tonight. The Philistines, if you go back to 1 Samuel 5, we're not going to go back there and read it all. But in 1 Samuel 5, if you went back there, they had placed the Ark of the Covenant in Dagon's temple. And they had removed it from there when the Lord destroyed the idol, Dagon. And they started moving it from place to place among the Philistines. And everywhere they moved it, they were met with a plague. You don't want to know why? Because the things of God didn't belong in the world. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say this. I didn't mean to even say it like that. But the things of God didn't belong in the world, and the things of the world don't belong among the things of God. That's why the Bible said, come out from among the world and be a separate people, saith the Lord. Now, there's several other places that there was a curse everywhere they took it. And it belonged to Israel. It belonged to the people of God. The contents of the ark, if you look in Hebrews 9, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it. After the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer, the ark of the covenant, overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. Over it the cherubims and the glory shadowing the mercy seat. Tonight, the ark of God, it had three things in it. It had the law, the Ten Commandments. It had the Aaron's rod, and it had a pot of manna. I believe that it was not only, first of all, it was an affirmation of God's presence. Listen, the cherubims above, and listen, it was a symbol, amen, of the presence of God among his people. It also affirmed God's provision, the manna, how that God in the wilderness took care of the children of Israel. If you read it, their shoes didn't wear out, their clothes didn't wear out. They had what they needed to eat because God took care of them. David's the one that said, I once was young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor God's seed begging bread. I believe it's a picture of the provision that God has for a people. And then I believe the rod, it affirmed God's priesthood or the choosing of Aaron. It was supposed to be the Levitical priesthood. And listen, we're going to read it tonight, but the ark was supposed to be carried on staves. It wasn't supposed to be in contact with this earth. Say amen. And beloved, they were trying to do a good thing and trying to do a right thing, but they were trying to do it the wrong way. I'm going to say something tonight. Listen to me carefully. You can get mad if you want to. But I believe one of the reasons that churches in America are sitting full of lost people that's never been born again is because, beloved, we went through the late 60s and the 70s and the 80s and we was doing anything. Hamburgering them in, hot dogging them in, ice creaming them in. Are you listening to me tonight? I'm telling you, beloved, listen, you ride our bus and we'll give you a hamburger. You ride us, we'll give you a hamburger and a hot dog. Well, you ride us and we'll give you an ice cream cone to go on top of it. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, God help us around here if we're out here trying to get a kid off of somebody else's bus when this world's full of kids that ain't got a bus to ride. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say it's a good thing to try to get people in church. It's a good thing to try to get people saved. But beloved, if the preaching of the cross won't get it done, and listen, God chose by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Every gimmick, every gadget under the sun. Amen. You go down the road, oh, we're going to have a missions day. And what are they doing? They're washing cars in immodest dress. Say amen. I'm telling you, God ain't in that. He ain't in it. I believe God wants us to stay old-fashioned. I don't believe, listen, we need a new cart. I believe we need that old-fashioned gospel and them old-fashioned song and that old-fashioned Holy Ghost and that old-fashioned access to the throne of grace and an old-fashioned prayer meeting and let God do a work. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about a spirit of error. Listen to me carefully. I am not saying that Bible Way Baptist Church will never have a contemporary service at 8. And an old-fashioned service at 11. I'm not saying that, Brother Ralph. But I'm saying this. As long as I'm pastor, it'll never happen. We're not going to roll the drums out at 8 o'clock, amen, and then put them up at 11. If it'll work at 11, it'll work at 8. Man, I wanted to get a lot deeper in this before I started, amen. But I'm telling you, there's a spirit of error in our world. People will do anything to fill a building up. And a lot of them, if they'd be honest, they're more interested in filling their pockets up than they are in filling the building up. God help. God help. That's why, beloved, listen, a lot of men quit preaching against sin. They're afraid it'll cost them something. That's why they say you're getting political if you mention abortion or if you mention homosexuality. You're not getting political. You're preaching the Bible. You're talking about adultery and shacking up and drinking and drugging. You're preaching the Word of God. May God help us. They had them a new cart, the spirit of error. Why? Why would they even think about this? Let me show you something tonight. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 6, please. Go back over just a little bit. 1 Samuel chapter number 6. Uzzah's dead now. He reached up there and that thing's on a cart. I'm going to tell you something. If it had been on the staves where it belonged, the Levites had been carrying it like they're supposed to. Honey, there wasn't a need, a man that didn't have no business touching it to put his hand up there. Watch this now.
I want to show you something tonight. Please help me. Lord Jesus. Look at 1 Samuel chapter number 6. 1 Samuel chapter 6. I didn't mark my Bible, so I'm having to turn over here and find it. So maybe you can find it. But I'm trembling tonight because what I'm preaching tonight is not popular. What I'm preaching tonight is the truth, but it's not popular. Look at verse 7 down through verse number 10. Here we are, beloved. This is the Philistines now. And the Word of God said in verse number 7, "Now therefore make a new cart and take two milch kine on which there hath come no yoke, and tie the kine to the cart and bring their calves home from them. And take the ark of the Lord, lay it upon the cart, put the jewels of gold in, which he returned for a trespass offering in a coffer by the side thereof, and send it away." See, they're telling the Philistines how to get it done. We're not supposed to get our orders from the Philistines. We're not supposed to get our pattern from the Philistines. Watch what he said in verse number 9. "And see if it go by the way in the coast of Bethshemesh, then he hath done us this great evil. But if not, then we will know that it is not his hand that smote us. It was a chance that happened to us." And the men did so and took two milch kine, tied them to the cart, and shut up their calves at home. And they laid the ark of the Lord upon the cart and the coffer with the mice of gold and the images of the emeralds. Why would they even think about it? I'll tell you why. They had already seen somebody else do it. I want to say something tonight. I want to say it with all due respect. Listen to me carefully. The Church of the Living God, yes, we have to have a budget. And yes, we're supposed to be good stewards of what God blesses us with. But I'm going to tell you something right now. The Church of the Living God is not the Eastman Chemical Corporation. What do you mean, preacher? There's supposed to be an element called faith involved in the decisions that we make. There's supposed to be a Bible involved in the decisions that we make. It's not supposed to all be about how the dollar signs turn out. It's supposed to be, is it pleasing to the God of heaven? Do we have instruction from the Lord? Let's look tonight. I'm running out of time. I got four things I want to show you tonight under this spirit of error. I want us to look at the importance of doing God's work, God's way. Look at Numbers chapter 4 for just a moment. I'm not even going to go over there and read that. I got 15 verses over in Numbers chapter 4. But let me just tell you what God's saying, what I've already said. He tells them how, that it's got to be the Levites. And listen, that they've got to carry the ark upon the staves. The ark had rings in the side of it. The staves were to pass through. And that ark was not to be in contact rolling around on a cart, amen, on the ground. Let's look at First Chronicles chapter 15, starting in verse number 1. First Chronicles chapter number 15, starting in verse number 1. I know it slows us down a lot, but I'm going to tell you, you can't spend any better time than reading the Word of God. The first thing I want to give you in the message tonight is the importance of doing God's work God's way. Look at First Chronicles chapter number 15. First Chronicles chapter 15. David learned this. He learned it the hard way. And David made him houses. I believe I'm in the right place. I hope and pray that I am. Yes. And David made him houses in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched for it a tent. Now David's made a place. Watch, he's learned something. And David said, "None ought to," what's that next word? Don't sound like a card anymore, does it? He said, "None ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. For," why is that? "Them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto them forever. And David gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord unto his place, which he had prepared for it. And David assembled the children of Aaron, the Levites of the sons. I'm not going to read all those. Down through verse number 10. And David called for Zadok in verse 11, Abathar the priest, for the Levites, Uriel, Asaiah, Joel, Shemaiah, Eliel, and Aminadab, and said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves. We not only need to do it the right way, but if we're going to do it, we need to be clean while we're doing it. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I prepared for it. For because, watch this now, ye did it not at the first. Oh, listen to me, beloved. You want to talk about something's worse than making a mistake? That's making a mistake and not learning anything from it. David learned something. I believe, listen, even when David sinned with Bathsheba, even when David numbered the people, I believe he was always learning. That's why you find him over there in the prayer closet saying, search me, O God, and try me, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Brother Larry, if that's a man after God's own heart, and he is, how much more do we in this generation we live in need to cry, search me, O God. Turn the searchlight of heaven on in my soul. Help me to see my wickedness. Watch this now. The Word of God said, where was I at? Verse 13, for because you did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. I want to ask you something tonight. Listen to me carefully. How many churches are going through the motions? Ain't nobody seeking God. How many messages are being pulled off the internet? Ain't even a man of God seeking the face of God. How many fathers in this world trying to raise children, and they never seek the face of God? God has an order for the home. Someone said, as the home goes, so goes the church. And as the church goes, so goes the nation. Now tell me what's wrong in America. John's talking about a spirit of truth. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And a spirit of error, where they won't even acknowledge who he is and that he's coming. But I'm going to tell you, he still is who he said he is, and he's still coming. He's still coming. The importance of doing it right. And the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord. Verse 16. And David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers and instruments of music, psalteries, harps, cymbals, sounding up by lifting up their voice. Somebody tell me those last two words. With joy. You know where the joy goes? When the joy goes out, it's because God's way went out. If we'll do God's work, God's way, we can do it with joy unspeakable and full of glory. God help us, Brother Ralph. You have to stand up here and lead a choir and ain't got no joy in your heart. Oh, I have to lead that old choir again today. No, praise God, you get to. Oh, I have to preach another one. No, I get to. Well, I guess I'll have to go visit and know I get to, Brother Steve. I'm going to bring a wheelbarrow Saturday morning, put Brother Steve in it, and me and him's going visiting. Amen. I guess a Volkswagen would be easier. God's work, God's way. Secondly, let me give you this. Four things tonight. I'll be done here just a little bit. One can be very sincere and yet be sincerely wrong. Listen to me carefully. I don't mean to throw any stones, But I believe that most cults, most people that are involved in a cult, Brother Steve, are more sincere than most of God's people. And more dedicated. You go down there now, you can go down there to Houston, to that hospital. I've been over here, just went down to the chapel to pray. I'll be honest with you. I don't know that I've ever run into a Christian in the chapel, but I've run into all kinds of Muslims in the chapel. They know which way they're supposed to face. They know what time of day. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, beloved, listen, on Saturday we're going to go visiting. The Jehovah's Witnesses are going to go visiting. I'm going to tell you something right now. They're a whole lot more sincere and a whole lot more dedicated than God's people are. I'm not throwing stones tonight, but I'm telling it right. Am I not telling it right? You take that father in that cult and that mother in that cult. Most of the time, beloved, they're a whole lot more determined that their kids are going to believe what they believe than we are. They're doing their dead level best to take them down that same path. I'm saying, listen, beloved, listen, 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 listen. You say, preacher, hey, some people just don't believe in the virgin birth. Now, let me just give you a better way to put it. They just don't believe the Bible. Oh, preacher, some people believe Jesus died, but they don't believe he rose again. The better way to put it is they just don't believe the Bible. Oh, they believe he's a brother of the devil. That makes him a created being instead of the creator. They just don't believe the Bible. And what I'm trying to say tonight is most of the time they're very sincere, but they're sincerely wrong. You get away from this book, you're wrong whether you're sincere or not. But most of them, the ones John's talking about here, they went out from us. They were not all of us. Had they been of us, they no doubt would have not went out from us. But they went out from us that it might be made manifest that they were not all of us. I'm telling you, beloved, sincere, dedicated to their cause. I'm going to tell you, if anybody in this world ought to be dedicated to their cause, it ought to be the child of God. Got the book in front of them, got the Holy Ghost living in them. Got ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Amen. Anybody in this world ought to be dedicated. Be sincere. It's God's people. The third thing I want to give you is sincerity will not alleviate the judgment of God. The Bible said, Uzzah reached up there and he touched that cart. I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure if our generation could handle this kind of holiness, the kind in the early church. When Ananias and Sapphira come in, Brother Ralph, you remember they sold a piece of land, then lied about it, lied about the amount, fell over dead. There was a fear of God among the church. I guarantee you that made the next one just think, well, if we sell it and we want to give it, we need to just give it. And if we don't want to give it, we just need to hang on to it. One thing we don't need to do is lie about it. Amen. The judgment of God, even though Uzzah was trying his best to do the right thing, the judgment of God came instantly. And he died. Tonight, there's a spirit of error. I want to give you something that ought to really, really cause us to think for just a minute, and I'll get to the last thing and I'll be done. And that is this. It upset David more because God killed Uzzah, or because God touched Uzzah, if you want to say, took his life. That upset David more than Uzzah touching the cart. You say, preacher, I don't know what you just said. You look at what's upsetting God's people today. You look at what people fall out over today. And just think about that for just a moment. I mean, churches that fell out because they couldn't agree on the color of the pew. You say, preacher, that'd be silly. They fell out over sillier things than that. And David's upset over the wrong thing. He should be like he was in Psalm 51. Lord, against thee and thee only have we sinned. Done this evil in thy sight. Let me get to the last thing. It's going to get gooder. Watch this. Watch this right here. Turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter number 13. I'm going to read four verses. Make a statement about the spirit of error. 1 Chronicles chapter 14, or chapter 13. I want to read the first four verses. 1 Chronicles chapter number 13. In verse number 1, the Bible said, and David, what's that next word? Consulted. How many believes that's a wise thing to do? The Bible said there's safety in a multitude of counselors, right? David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren every where there are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and the Levites, which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us, and let us bring again the ark of our God to us. For we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. And all the congregation said that they would do so. For the thing was right, read the rest of it, in the eyes of all the people. Here's what I want to say, the last thing tonight about the spirit of error. There were those among them in the children of Israel that should have known better. Somebody should have spoke up and said, now, Brother David, you know what Moses said back yonder. But this sounded good, and the Bible said it was right in the eyes of all the people. There were those that should have known better. I will say this tonight, and I'm not saying it in a critical way, but in any church, you could have a youth director that got something in his mind, a good man, got something in his mind that he wanted to do. But if it don't line up, somebody help me. There ought to be somebody around that knows better. There could be a young pastor come in. But God help us if we ain't got somebody around that knows better. Say amen. And by the way, let me just go ahead and say this. It don't even have to be a young pastor in this generation. It can be an old pastor. Because I heard testimony just last week with my own ears, where a man said, I'd like to come here, and I really don't need anything because I'm not allowed to take much salary till I retire. I'm just looking for a place to retire. Gag a maggot off a gut wagon. Say amen! And then they found out he don't believe in giving an invitation. What I'm trying to say, it don't have to be a young man. There ought to be somebody that knows better. Amen, Brother Houston. There ought to be somebody that knows better than to let the church drag out a new cart and try to pull God's people away. Jeremiah said, seek out the old path. He said, when you find it, walk in it. Do you know what they said? Same thing a lot of people are saying today. We will not walk therein. The spirit of error. the John Dockery if I make it from here to heaven without getting caught up in that spirit of error. It'll be by the grace of God. God wants us to preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Did I quote that right? This is not a trick question. I feel like I missed something. Is it reprove, rebuke, exhort? Is that right, Coulter? Is that right, Brother Larry? Are you sure? They quit nodding when I ask them if they're sure. Turn over in Timothy and read it, Brother Colt. See, I'm not getting him to read all my text, just one verse. Preach the word. Is that 1 Timothy 4 or 2 Timothy 4? I don't know. It's there, though. You got it, Brother Steve? Okay, it is three things: reprove, rebuke, and exhort. I felt like I was missing something there. I wanted another rebuke. No, I'm just kidding. But I will tell you what this generation wants. Listen to me carefully. They want exhort, 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 exhort. Don't reprove me and don't rebuke me. How many knows enough about this book to know if you even get close to it? It will reprove you. It'll reprove me. It'll rebuke me. Brother Ralph, I think maybe it was you that told me one time about a man that, I can't remember for sure, but you called him, you said he wasn't a preacher, but he was an exhorter. When he come into service, he felt like the call of God on his life was to exhort. And I like that. And there are people, Brother Ralph's got that call on him, amen, that just encourage God's people. By the way, the Bible, let me see if I can remember, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another daily, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Nothing wrong with that. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If any man preaches the whole counsel, it's not all going to be exhort. There are going to be times when guts and gallbladders are hanging from the chandelier. Say amen. And some of them will be his own. Because the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. How many is glad you come tonight? How many, by the grace of God, wants to stay out from under the spirit of error? Stay in the spirit of truth. Thank you for coming.